So we said Joshua chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10 in the following verses. Father, we just thank you today that your word is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Father, we thank you that your word manifests in us the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God, fullness of the promise from Genesis to Revelation. And Father, we receive today your good word, your good promise. And we thank you that this is the engrafted word which is able to save our souls, transform us from one degree of glory to the next. That's what the Word of God does. And we thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So you remember the last time we talked about this was after the death of Moses. Here comes Joshua, who had spent time in the presence of the Lord. He'd learned from Moses. And God said to him in verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Go now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I did give to them. And then he gave him an encouragement and to not that to let the word, the book of the law, depart out of your mouth, but meditate therein day and night. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Funny. And just reading a book will change your life. It's because it's not just a book. John chapter 1 says, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh." And then John 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So the Word is not a word in a book. The Word is a person. And if the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, well, put two and two together, that's Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of Man. And it became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word, you meditate in the Word day and night. When you we thought about this, you know, when we dedicated our granddaughter a few weeks ago, and over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you talk about the Word when you're getting up, when you go sitting down, when you're going in, when you're coming out, when you rise, and when you sleep. You consistently, constantly talking about the Word of God. Many people, they talk about all kinds of things. Talk about the college education. They talk about the business principles. They talk about all kinds of wonderful things that you know they teach you as to how to get along in life, how to make money in life, how to raise your children in life. You know, all of these kind of things. But and even Proverbs says you want to get wisdom. You know, you're getting get it. Get wisdom. But where does it come from? It comes from the Word. It comes from Jesus. You know, Jesus is pretty smart. I mean, if you'd ever listened to him teach those Pharisees, they were confounded. Those Pharisees, I mean, they were the most educated. They were lawyers. All of them were lawyers, you know, he called them. You know, and they were the ones who I mean, they knew everything. They knew the Bible backwards and forwards, upside down. And Jesus taught them, not as the scribes and Pharisees, but as one having authority. So now we have this Word of God, which is God's authority. And God gave you authority. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look here. So he talked to, he says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. How many know the Lord is with you wherever you go? You know, you're not alone. You'll never walk alone. You know, you will not. Yeah, there's a musical. You'll never walk alone. All right. So you are the Holy Spirit and the living God are always with you. Amen.
Amen.
He's always with me. When I wake up, He's with me. When I walk out the door, He's with me. When I go into the bathroom, yeah, He's with me. When I finish shaving, He's with me. You know, when I go out the door, when I go to do whatever the job is that I need to do, He is always with me. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. All right, you go do this. I'll be down having coffee. No, He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's so powerful. Because He has given you of His Spirit, and His Spirit dwells in you. His Spirit constantly lives on the inside of me and you. Joshua 1:10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. So God had given him authority and said, you're going to go over this Jordan River. So He commanded the officers of the people, saying, so you're going to say something. It's important to learn how to say things, isn't it? It's important to learn how to say things out of your mouth. Give commands. Speak truth. It's important to speak truth. He said, pass the verse 11, pass through the host. Now who's the host? The host is the people. The host is usually referring to an army. And in this case, it's pretty close to an army because they're fixing to go across and take over a city. Take over the city of Jericho. All right? Or come to the city of Jericho first. So, He says, pass through the host and command the people, saying. So it's got a 10 and 11 sound pretty much the same there, those two verses, because it's two verses commanding Him to command the people, saying. Okay? You just got to meditate on things sometimes. Command the people, saying. So you're... the words out of your mouth are important, aren't they? Because you can, when the scripture talks about a trumpet giving an uncertain sound as a call to battle. An uncertain sound is something that'll confuse people. Well, so when you want to speak, you want to command the people saying, and that refers to pastors, but it also refers to a mature saint. A mature saint is going to command people saying, like when the disciples went out, they went out. And they Jesus sent them out, they went out to declare the word of the Lord. They would command things, saying, sick devils, get out. Sicknesses, leave. And so that's what we do. We have authority to command. We have authority to command nature. We have authority to command the things of what God told us to command, to take authority over things. You have to understand that when you're in this world, you're not of this world. You are a new creation. What does a new creation mean? Doesn't mean a brand new baby. That's not what it means. It means you are a new species. You're a new kind of human being that is indwelt by the living God and the Holy Spirit. You know, the world wants you to just kind of sit down and be quiet because you're just kind of a silly person who believes all kinds of silly things. But no, we know the living God. And see, these people who had come across the desert and these people who had come out of the land of Egypt, that God said, go to Moses, go get my people and bring them out and bring them to a land that I will provide for them. And that's what God has done for you and me. We possess a land, which is the kingdom of heaven. Our land is not a physical land, but our land is a spiritual land, it's a land of the soul, which your soul has been battled for and is being conquered. Thank you. Being conquered. So your soul is being conquered by the Word of God, isn't it? And that's what he's talking about here. You're crossing over the Jordan, okay, into the promised land. And it's very interesting what he says next. And this is very important. So he's passing through the land, the host, the people, and commanded the people, saying, prepare supplies. It says victuals or food or provisions, really is what it means, is prepare to go on a mission. Prepare to go, prepare victuals, for within 3 days you will go over, pass over this Jordan. Now what are they going to do? To go in to possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it. So there's two possesses in here, two possessions, two possessings. And a possession is an act. You go possess, go take what is given to you. Take what is yours. And so you are going to, for within 3 days, it's also interesting because it's 3 days. Where was Jesus? In the tomb for 3 days. So he says here, he ties it, I believe, to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Because there are prophecies throughout the Old Testament pointing to Jesus, pointing to the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus, right? Prepare, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land. You have an intent. You have an intent to possess the land which the Lord God gives you. Gives who? Gives who?
Me.
You. Yeah, me. Thank you, Joe. Me. So the Lord God gives you, and what are you going to do with it? What's the next word?
Possess.
Yeah, so you're going to possess it. Well, here's the land I'm giving you, Andrew. And Andrew just sits there with his hands in his lap.
Yeah.
But Andrew's got to possess it. I gave it to him to possess it, but he's got to possess what I gave him to possess. Amen? Now again, I'm not talking about works in the sense of works. I'm talking about works. I'm talking about possession. First of all, where does it start? By faith.
In us.
Doesn't it? Starts in you by faith. That's how possession starts. Do you believe that God gave you that land?
He commanded you.
He commanded you to do what? Possess it. So don't just sit there and wait.
Obey.
Possess it. That's why these things, it's important to go ahead and, you know, I don't know about you, it takes me a long time to possess some. To possess this promise, this word. This, yeah, I got
projects.
Yeah. That's another sermon. For in 3 days you will pass over this Jordan to go in to pass over the Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord God gave you to possess it. He gave it to you to possess it. So you'll notice that the children of Israel go in, and what do they begin to do? Possess it. They go in to begin to possess the land because God gave them a promise. Amen? And He wanted them to have it. And He wanted them to go in and take and receive the possession that's theirs. Now, right now, you have a land here. Your body, mind, will, and emotions, your body and soul, that has been in the past possessed by an enemy. But God says, I gave it to you. So through the Spirit that you have been birthed from above, He also has now given you your body, mind, and spirit, body, mind, and soul, body, mind, and will, which is your soul, to go and to possess that by faith according to the Word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 said, let's read it. Let's read it rather than me just rattle it off to you. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, says Paul, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And service can be reasonable worship. Verse 2, and so to proceed with that presentation of your bodies, is to be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So you're going to prove or demonstrate what is that perfect will of God by being transformed from one degree of glory to the next, so that you might prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. He commands you to grow up into a perfect man, a complete person, complete man. Completion has to do with the living God ruling on the inside of you. Amen? The first part of ruling is faith. The first part of that is ruling. You're ruling over unbelief by faith. Unbelief keeps me from the promises of God, doesn't it? Unbelief keeps me from the promises of God. More than anything else, unbelief keeps me from the promises of God. And what is unbelief? It doesn't mean I don't believe in Jesus. Unbelief is I believe in this world more than I believe that God can. I believe more in the power of this world and the power of the enemy and the power of the government and the power of my enemies than I believe in what God can do and accomplish. So God, show me, walk with me, show me daily how to hear your voice and how to possess this body. Amen? The Word of God tells us to possess our souls. He says to possess your soul. I didn't write that one down. We'll look at it. I want to find it. Jesus said it in Luke 21:19. In patience, possess ye your soul. Possess, that's interesting, isn't it? To possess your soul. So your soul is kind of like wild, you know. We got, you know, if you have a little puppy, it runs around, and you got to go possess that puppy, you know, before it gets out into the street.
Like Mozzie,
yeah.
Crazy
Mozzie. We had Mozzie over this weekend.
Esther was here with her.
That's right. Mozzie. Mm-hmm.
He's
Amen. All right.
He will take something he's not supposed to, and he'll take off running. See, he knows he's not supposed to.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 4, verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification.
Amen.
That you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how, I love this, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Not like the people who don't even know God. See, you know, so much of the church has just allowed themselves to be corrupted, just in the flesh, just corrupted in the flesh, you know. Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm once saved, always saved. So, what the heck? You know, Jesus will forgive me by the time I get in there. I even heard that message that says, when you knock on the door, when you show up, yes, and St. Peter asks, why should you be? Why should I let you in? Well, I believe that Jesus bore my sins on the cross at Calvary. Well, come on in, you know. How'd you get so filthy, by the way? You know, you wanted, Peter's asking, you know. But what good were you? What good were you? Amen. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Because don't go defrauding people. Don't lie to people. Don't steal from people. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. See, possessing your vessel has to do with possessing it and giving it to Jesus. Allowing the Holy Spirit to carry your vessel and to use it for His purpose. Amen? Look back over at Joshua. Everybody of you should know how, that's interesting, to possess his vessel. I don't know how to do it. Get back in the promises, get back in the worship of God, like we talked about that song this morning. Mighty and glorious, you are victorious, O God, the sovereign and strong. So we're entering into his presence. And I know I'm speaking to the choir generally. Yeah, this bunch has been hearing the understanding and teaching of the fact that it's not you that does the work, it's God that does the work. But it's important for us to rehearse these things. Amen? It's important for us to rehearse these things. Back to Joshua chapter 1. So this is the land to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess it, Joshua 1:11. And to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh, half of it, spoke Joshua saying, okay, you guys, Reubenites, Gadites, and half of the Manassites. Everybody knows Manasseh is one of the sons of Joseph. And he said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. So they had the land on the... they actually had the land on the side of the Jordan they were sitting on. They had that land for the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manassites. They already had their land. It was right there on that side.
They won't go all the way.
Well, that's the land that they had given them. That's the land that... so he commanded them. He said, The Lord your God has given you rest and has given you this land. The Lord God has given you rest. Okay, so God's given you rest. Now, what are you going to do about that? You're just going to forget the rest of the bunch? You know, thank you, God. Thank you, brothers. God bless you. God bless you as you move on.
Wasn't Moses afraid at first when they first asked for that? He thought the Lord was going to be mad at him. Or be displeased because they didn't want to go over.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were comfortable.
But they got it. They got it. And so God is dealing with that. He's dealing with that. He's saying, God, the Lord God has given you rest and has given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side. But you shall pass before your brethren, armed, all the mighty men of valor, and you will help them. So they left their kids and what all on that side, but they're going to help and have the mighty men of valor in their armies, in their troops, come and help the brothers, their brethren, to take the rest of the land. And again, so what? That's part of your job, is to help somebody else take their land, to help them move along into the maturity of the gospel. Amen? Don't neglect to help somebody else. You're not just a recipient in that sense. You're receiving it from the Lord. But everything you have, then you are using it to encourage and build up and bring somebody else along. Amen? That's who we are as the body of Christ. That's how we are as the body of Christ, to love one another, to walk with one another, to encourage one another. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about all the gifts and that everybody, every person, any individual has, is that you have a gifting that God has given to you. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank you, Jesus. So you have the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestations of the gift of the Spirit in verses 8 through 10, 8 through 11. And then verse 12, so it's 12, 1 Corinthians. For as the body is one, and has many members, all the members of that body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by the Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, and here's what we're talking about, like the people with the different pieces of land, well, I got mine. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, I always thought that was the funniest thing. If Paul was just humorous, you know, if the whole body were an eye, there it is, just a big eyeball. Then where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? Now God has set set the members in the body, y'all, every one of them in the body as it has pleased Him. Well, praise God. You're in the place where God, you're in the body where God placed you. Isn't that good? Well, some of you know, that's like some of these people who say, well, I, you know, these body people, you know, they don't like their body. They don't like their hair. They don't like their feet. They don't like all kinds of things, you know. Or, I mean, it's even worse now. Now they get to where you don't want to be a girl or you don't want to be a boy for whatever reason. Well, God made you one or the other. And what he made you, that's what you are. If you're an ear, you're an ear. If you're an eye, you're an eye. If you're a boy, you're a boy. If you're a girl, you're a girl. You know, God made you. Psalm 139 said God formed you. God set you in this world exactly in the place as he wanted you to be. That's what he said right here. So if you don't be depressed about who you are. Try to train your kids up that way. You know, don't have some idea that there could have been, God could have done something better on you. No. You are perfect. God made you perfect for the purpose that he called you for. He did. Because he's the maker. He's the potter. You're the clay. Verse 18. You can read that again. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Even if all, and if all the body were one member, well, if all the body were an ear, where's the rest of it? There's a necessity for all the parts of the body. But now, verse 20, but now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't have any need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, or weaker, don't seem to be as necessary as others. No, they're needful. Yeah, I need my spleen. I need my appendix. Well, how come they just always take it out? I need my tonsils. You know. They used to take tonsils out and then they figured out there was something they were helpful for. I can't remember what. But they figured out, stop taking those tonsils out. Well, see? And those members of the body that we think to be less honorable. Oh, that's gross. Upon those we restore more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts, that means our unpretty parts, have more abundant prettiness. For our comely parts have no, our pretty parts have no need, our lovely parts have no need. But God has tempered the body together, assembled it, having given the more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism, no division in the body, but that the body members should have the same care one for another. And whether, boy, this just, it just goes on and on about this body thing. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Well, in particular is important. In particular, you know what that means? That means you and you and you and you and you. This body part, that body part, that part that God set in place. Amen? So we have these guys over here who have already gotten their inheritance. But God says, you're going to help them. You're going to assist them to get their part. Amen? You're going to assist them to get their part. You're going to assist them to possess their vessel. Amen. Back in Joshua chapter 1. So he says in there at the end of verse 14, he says, but you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. So you're going to dress up in your finest victory outfit like Will was talking about, that Jesus, or the, or in the secular version, the Roman, you know, soldiers coming into town, dragging the enemy behind him, Jesus dragging the devil behind him, you dragging the defeated flesh behind you, amen. Because your flesh doesn't win, does it? My flesh doesn't win. My complainer doesn't win. My whiner doesn't win. Even though it appears, sometimes I hear it. It does not win, because I have victory. Because God gave me this land to possess it, and then He said, "Go possess what I possessed for you. Go possess it. Possess ye your vessel." Now, how you do that? Through faith and through the Word. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. Your mind's got loins? Gird up the loins of your mind. What that means is like when they were talking about, when they're going to go to work, they got these long skirts. The men used to wear skirts, Jack. Used to wear dresses.
Not real men.
No, real men. I wouldn't mess with them.
No.
And they pulled up that skirt and they tucked it in their belt so they could work. Your hips and your legs and your thighs and your loins, that was the strength. That was your strength. That's where you're able to move and pick up things and do the work in the field or do work of all kinds. Gird up the loins. The strongest part of your body is right there. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, make sure your loins are strong and uninhibited and unhindered, right? Because your mind can be hindered by all kinds of garbage and nonsense and foolishness. Amen? But God says, hear me. He says, be renewed in your mind so that you might prove what is that good or demonstrate. Prove means like a proving ground, like you're out on the racetrack driving that brand new Mustang that they built back in the 60s, and they're out running that thing at the highest speed possible, you know, to make sure that it doesn't blow up, to make sure it makes the turns. You're proving it, you're testing it to make sure that it doesn't fail. That's what this proving is that you may prove, is renew your mind so that, with the Word of God, so you may prove or demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How does that work? It's because you're growing in the Lord, right? How do we grow? From faith to faith, the Bible says. From glory to glory. First the corn, then the first the ear, then the corn. What is it? You know, first the corn, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. You know, in other words, it grows. You grow up in the things of the Lord. Okay, so you're going to help them. Verse 15, until the Lord have given your brethren rest as He has given you. And they have possessed, also they have possessed the land which the Lord your God gives them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. So God commands us to assist and to help. We are the body. Amen. So you're meditating on the Lord, you're meditating on His promise, and you're saying, Father, thank you that you've given me this land. You've commanded me and showed me, you know, how to possess this land, how to possess my land. But I'll continue to help my brethren to possess their land. That's it. That's the message. It's to possess your land by faith and then teach somebody else. Teach somebody else how to do the same. Amen? Jesus did that for you, didn't he? Jesus came to set you free. He said, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring sight to the blind, freedom to the captives. And what do you think you're to do? Jesus said, go and preach the gospel, the good news, to every creature. Whosoever hears you shall be saved. Father, I just thank you for this people. There were 12 disciples. There's probably more than that here. And Father, I thank you that it doesn't take more than your few. It's like, well, this is the kind of the remnant of something from earlier. No. These are the people of God who have heard your word and are producing fruit. So, Father, we thank, we do not doubt, we do not fear, and we do not discount what the Word of God and the people of God may do. So, Father, I thank you that this people is a people who bring in the lost, a people who raise up the young. So we give you the praise and we give you the thanks for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody have a word? To share? Anybody have a word of amen or oh me? Or?
It's a very powerful word.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah.
Something that you said really just got one prayer in particular. He's really going through a lot right now. And it really always puts things in perspective. You know, just the idea of we can carry our brothers. We are the family. You know, it's like it's easy. Like we live in Dallas. Dallas is a sort of setting, you know.
Yes.
But God's given us a new, God's given us His picture. He's given us His